I really like receiving compliments. Just so y'all know, if you're ever thinking, man, I'm bored, what could I be doing right now? Just an idea. But do you like compliments? Like, do you like when somebody says, you know what, you're really awesome at this? It might make you blush for a moment. You know, there's the odd time where somebody kind of gushes over you and you're like, oh, this is so awkward right now. But depending on the size of the compliment, who says it, and who they're saying it to about you, I think we would all have to say we like a compliment now and then, wouldn't you say? What if somebody paid you this compliment? There is no person who's been born from a woman who is greater than you. How would you like that compliment? That's a pretty top-shelf compliment, I think you'd have to say. Well, in the Bible, somebody got this compliment once. Who was it said about? John the Baptist. That's kind of cool, but here's the crazier thing. Who paid him that compliment? Jesus. The Son of God, who we've been learning in the Gospel of John, is the logos of the universe, the software that runs the cosmos, said that of women, there is no one born greater than John the Baptist. Well, as we continue our journey through the Gospel of John, we're about to learn about this greatest man. And before we get to what Jesus said about him, we're going to look at what John the Apostle, so the guy writing the Gospel of John, what he said about John the Baptist. Because as we're going to learn in a couple weeks, John actually was a disciple of John the Baptist before he was a disciple of Jesus. Not everybody knows that. So we're going to learn what John says about John the Baptist. We're also going to learn about what John the Baptist's dad said about him. So you ever want to get a good compliment or a good blessing from your father, you get to hear what Zechariah said about John, his son. And then finally, we're going to come back to who Jesus said John was. And I hope that you will agree that who Jesus says a person is really kind of the most important opinion. But at the end of Jesus' description of John the Baptist, Jesus is going to make a connection between him and you and me, all born-again Christians. He's going to say that there's something about him, but then he's going to give us an evaluation relative to him. Okay, this will make sense a little later. I'm hoping that as we look at who the John the Baptist is, it will ultimately cause us to stop and consider who we are to Jesus, because he's the opinion that matters the most. Okay, let's start with those verses about John the Baptist that we skipped in the prologue of the gospel a few weeks ago. You remember I'd skipped over a few. I said, we'll get to it later. Now we're going to get to it. So starting in John chapter 1, verses 6 to 8, and then also in verse 15. Would somebody be willing to read for me just so that you're hearing a voice besides mine?
John chapter 1, verses 6 to 8. There was a man sent from God, John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. John testified concerning Jesus. He cried out, saying, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.'"
Thanks, Buck. So after John talks about Jesus being the Word of God and the light of all mankind, like we've been looking at for the last few weeks, he immediately says that God sent a special prophet who was going to reveal to the world who the Messiah was when he got here. Now, obviously, John the Baptist was so powerful and so influential that a lot of people were thinking that he himself was this guy, this Messiah, the Savior that they were waiting for. He wasn't, but still, John, the writer of the gospel, thinks that he was important enough to talk about right alongside Jesus, and he intermingles the identity of John the Baptist with his description of Jesus. Apparently, God had revealed in advance to others that before the Messiah had come, there would be what we now call the forerunner. Have you ever heard that phrase of John the Baptist before? It's not actually in the Bible, but it's a common phrase. He's a forerunner. He's like a messenger flying a banner, blowing a trumpet, saying somebody important is coming. someone who would come with huge power and influence to prepare the way for the Lord. Several of the Old Testament prophets predicted this person, and an angel revealed it to John's own father, Zechariah. So now let's look at what Zechariah said about his own son, John, right after he was born. Is there somebody who would be willing to read this?
Luke chapter 1, verses 76 to 79. "And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven, to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace."
Thank you, Rob. So Zechariah understood that his little baby, he's saying this when John is like yay big, 8 days old, that this baby would grow up to be the special prophet who would be like a trumpet blower before the Lord. By the way, when we use this phrase, the Lord, we use it really flippantly, but it has significance to the people. When you're reading it in the mouths of somebody in the Bible, it means something significant. Who is the Lord in the Old Testament? It's God himself, right? So when Zechariah is saying that he's preparing the way of the Lord, they're declaring that they believe God is going to suddenly infiltrate the earthly realm, which is a pretty radical thought for them at this time. Maybe not so much for us, but for them, this is pretty wild. They believed that God himself was coming as a man, and John the Baptist was going to blow the trumpet ahead of him. Now let's look at what John the Baptist has to say about himself, who John the Baptist himself claimed to be.
Who John the Baptist himself claimed to be. John 1, 19 to 23. Now this was John's testimony when the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him who he was. He did not fail to confess, but confessed freely, "I am not the Messiah." They asked him, "Then who are you? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." Finally they said, "Who are you? Give us an answer to take back to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" John replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet, "I am the voice of one calling in the wilderness, make straight the way for the Lord."
Thank you, Ruth. Okay, so to totally understand this little passage, maybe you need a little bit of Bible background. So our Bible has these two big chunks, the Old Testament and the New Testament, right? You probably knew that. Well, there is a 400-year space of time between those two where nothing gets written, when God did not send any prophets to his people, at least none that people recognized and wrote down and kept their books. Anyway, the last prophet that they got was Malachi. If you know your Bibles, that's the last book of the Old Testament, and then there's this 400-year lull. Through Malachi, God promised that he himself was going to come to the earth, but just before he did, he was going to send Elijah back as a herald before him. So the people took this really literally, and they were watching for two people, the Messiah and the Messiah's forerunner, who was apparently going to be some kind of reincarnation of Elijah. So when John the Baptist shows up, dressed just like Elijah, in what my son cleverly calls the camouflage coat, talking like Elijah, acting like Elijah, people start paying close attention. And they say, "Well, are you him? Are you Elijah?" And he says, "No." And I find that a little strange, because Jesus himself later says, and we'll read this later, that John the Baptist was the Elijah that they were waiting for. In other words, Jesus says that John really was the herald who was going to come just before the Messiah to prepare that way. So when John says no here, he probably just meant that he wasn't literally the reincarnation of Elijah. Maybe he thought, if I would have said yes to that question, I would have created more confusion for people, because they would have started going down some rabbit trail of, wow, so people can go to heaven and come back as different people. I think maybe... I'm guessing here, he thought it would be simpler just to dispel that. They can do the math from what he says next. John isn't literally Elijah, but he is the Elijah figure that the Old Testament was talking about. Well, what about the prophet? Remember they said, well, are you the prophet? Who was this prophet that the people thought John the Baptist might be? Okay, well, just before Moses died, so we're going back about 1,500 years now, just before Moses died, he told Israel, he told the people that someday another prophet like him was going to come speaking as God. If you remember the book of Exodus, God said, I'm going to send Aaron as your priest and your messenger, but you will be like God to the people. You'll be God among them. And Moses is saying, someday another one like me is coming. This was most likely God telling Moses about the coming Messiah, who turns out to literally be God. Not just someone representing him, but actually who is God. So is John a prophet? For sure he is. And actually Jesus himself is going to say so in our next passage. But is John the prophet which the Jews were waiting for? No, Jesus was. Jesus was the Messiah. He was that prophet who is coming as God. John was just the messenger. So when John says, no, I'm not the prophet, I think that's what he's trying to say. So he isn't Elijah and he isn't the prophet. So who does he claim to be? Well, John answers that with a quotation from the book of Isaiah. And he says, I am the voice of one calling in the wilderness, make straight the way for the Lord. And the people listening to John would have known right away that John was not the Messiah, but he was the guy that the prophet said was running ahead, just ahead of the Messiah. This is pretty good news for them, right? Because they can do the math. That means we need to start paying attention. The Messiah could be here right now, or he could show up any time. So who does the Messiah himself, who does Jesus say that this mysterious character was? Now I want to look, I got to jump out of John to get this, but this is in Matthew chapter 11. Can I have a volunteer to read Matthew 11?
As John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed swayed by the wind? Then what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you. Truly, I tell you, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet whoever is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And if you are willing to accept it, he is the Elijah who was to come.
Thank you, Sam. Good reading. So Jesus tells the people that John is a prophet, and he is the Elijah that the Old Testament left off promising. Jesus needed his disciples to get that, because if Elijah hasn't returned, then Jesus couldn't be the Messiah, because their Bible told them clearly that Elijah had to come back first. In fact, they asked him that question. They said, well, where's Elijah? If you're the Messiah, where is he? So now they know John the Baptist is that forerunner. He is that Elijah, the prophet and the trumpet blower for the Messiah, which means Jesus at least could be him. So maybe you're wondering, why does this matter to me? Why does it matter whether we all totally get who this John the Baptist guy was? He lived 2,000 years ago. Now, you might be thinking, I can see why those early Jewish people needed to understand that so that they would believe in Jesus as the Messiah. But, I mean, I have the whole Bible now. Why do I have to know who exactly John the Baptist is now that Jesus is already here? Couldn't this sermon be like half the length? Or couldn't we have just skipped this part of John's gospel altogether? And I actually don't mind if you're thinking that. It is true that we can get caught in minuscule details of the Bible at times and miss the main message. So if you're suspicious of that, I support that. Not all facts and people in the Bible are of equal importance. So I try not to preach details that are not helpful in helping us be more like Jesus. I try to avoid getting into the minutiae. Okay, then why did I spend 20 minutes of your time and mine helping you understand exactly who this guy is? Here's why. because Jesus has connected him to us in this passage. In other words, there is something Jesus wants us to know about ourselves which we will not be able to grasp unless we understand John the Baptist first. What is the connection? Let's take another look at that description that was given in Matthew chapter 11. This is Jesus' own words. He says, "Truly I tell you, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist." There's that million-dollar compliment. "Yet," he says, "whoever is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." Let me dissect this a bit. Jesus says that there is no one born of women who's greater than John. So let me just ask, Ruth, are you born of a woman? Benny, are you born of a woman? We certainly think so, yeah. Sam, are you born of a woman? I can actually visually confirm that in his case. We are all born of women. So could any of us be greater than John the Baptist? Well, apparently not. But then Jesus doubles back on himself and says, "Yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he," greater than John. Well, let me ask you again, Ruth. Are you born again into the kingdom of heaven?
I am.
You are. Benny, are you born again into the kingdom of heaven? Sam, are you born again into the kingdom of heaven? If you are, then Jesus says that you are greater than John the Baptist. And if he is the greatest man ever born of a woman, I think that should make you and I feel pretty important to Jesus. But maybe you're suspicious. Why would Jesus say this? Look at John the Baptist. Look at me. Look at us. How could a little child who knows Jesus, how could Sam be greater than this powerful prophet and preacher who was called Elijah and whose birth was foretold 4 centuries in advance? Well, to answer this question, you have to ask another question. What was John the Baptist's mission in life? If you could sum it up, what is the calling of John the Baptist? Somebody want to throw that out? To pave the way for Jesus. Yours is good, but I liked his better. To pave the way for Jesus. Okay? And if you are a born-again Christian, part of the kingdom of heaven, what is your mission in life? Exactly the same. So why are you greater than him? Maybe you'd be content to say, well, I'm on par with him. I mean, I'm pretty good. Don't look as good in camel outfits as he does. But you know, you'd be happy to be on par. But yet Jesus says you're greater. Why? Because you know more about Jesus than John the Baptist did. Think about that for a second. John the Baptist was operating on a very need-to-know basis, like Sean was saying this morning. I'm on a need-to-know basis. So was John. And frankly, he did not have the whole picture. A little further down the road in this story, John the Baptist gets arrested and thrown into a dark, dank dungeon. And he sends some of his disciples who are peering down the window at him saying, "John, you still in there? Are you okay? Are you alive?" And John's saying, "Yeah, I'm alive. Can you go find Jesus and ask him if there was a malfunction at the junction? Why am I here? Are you the Messiah or not?" So he sends these messengers, and Jesus has to clarify that, yes, he is the Messiah. And John the Baptist may be thinking, well, I don't get it. We get it. We have the whole story, don't we? See, John the Baptist didn't know about the cross. He didn't know what the Messiah exactly was going to do. He didn't know about the empty tomb. He probably did not grasp the full scope of what Jesus' mission was. In fact, I don't think anybody in his day really understood that. Why are you greater than John the Baptist? Because we know that Jesus was God in flesh. We know that Jesus came to his world to pay for our sins so that all of us could be found worthy to spend an eternity with God in heaven. We know that now. Even John the Baptist didn't know all that. I think that's pretty remarkable. So if our mission is the same, and that's to pave the way to Jesus, who do you think is better qualified to do that? John or you? It's crazy to admit this, right? But you have more to work with than he did. Little did John know that Jesus would be treated worse by the world than even he was, thrown into a dungeon and eventually beheaded. Jesus subjected to the cruelest form of torture known to man, and he made the whole deal. John didn't understand the full scope of Jesus' mission, but you and I do. And since we know the rest of the story, shouldn't we be greater forerunners for the Savior to the people in our lives? Shouldn't we be able to declare even more boldly than John the Baptist did and say, I have been sent out into the world to prepare souls to meet Jesus? Or as Sean said it well, to pave the way to Jesus. Jesus said, this is the calling of you and I. And on this side of the cross, after it's all happened, and on this side of the empty tomb, we can expect greater things than John the Baptist, if we will be faithful to live out that calling and make straight the path to Jesus for the people that we know. So I'm going to issue a bit of an invitation today. If you already have confidence in your heart that you are forgiven and you are saved and you are loved by Jesus, then take it from me, by Jesus' authority, you are greater than John the Baptist. It might be time to start acting like it. Your mission for this year, 2020, is to do everything in your power to get other people to see Jesus as you see him, as the lover of their souls, as the Savior from their sins. But I want to issue another invitation to everyone in the room who may be feeling some pull in their heart right now to answer this call for the first time. Maybe today you don't have a long history with Jesus, but for some reason you're here right now, and this crazy stuff that I'm talking about makes sense in both your mind and your heart, and you want to say, that's what I want to be. I want to be a forerunner to Jesus in the life of somebody I know. I would like to make a little bit of time and space for you to physically and formally say yes to that prompting inside of you right now. So let's just take a moment to pray. Father, I thank you for your word this morning. I thank you for the words of Jesus, this reminder of how he esteems us, how we're not just junk to him, how we're not just a failure, how we're not just halfway children of his, but we are greater than John the Baptist in his sight and in our calling. And so, Lord, I want to thank you for all the people you've brought together in this church family and given us this calling. I pray that we will take it seriously and rise to that challenge in 2020. But if there is anybody out here that just wants to say yes to this for the very first time, saying yes to God either by taking another step forward in baptism or membership or maybe just don't know anything, but you know that this message is for you today, Lord, that those people would be brave enough to come out right now in the next few minutes to just step forward, not as an act of magic, but just as a visible sign that, yes, God spoke to me this morning. So, Lord, just embolden those that you want to move, and may you be glorified in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen.